So today's daf is Kuf Chaf Dalet Omen Aleph. What we need to know from the previous Omud is a list that's given with regard to a number of different kalim, and in all these four cases Rabbi Elazar says they're osur. We have konim, we have maklos, we have glustra, and we have medocha. And these four kalim, says Rabbi Elazar, are what's called a klishim lato leheter, and yet you're not allowed to use them. And the reason for that is because, says Rabbi Elazar, these halachas in these four cases, these four categories of kalim, were formulated before the heter of kalim, meaning initially there was a gzera that all kalim are osur betiltil. Only in three stages they loosened it and they allowed it, but originally all the kalim were osur. And Rabbi Elazar gives four cases, four categories of kalim that are mentioned in the Mishnayos and in the Brises. So in the daf that we did yesterday, we spoke about two out of the four. We spoke about konim and maklos, and the discussion about maklos had to do with a case in which Shabbos overlapped with Yudalid ben Nisan, the 14th of Nisan, and the question was how you carry or how you hang up the Korban Pesach in such a way that you could do Hafshata. And although Yudalid that fell on a weekday, you would be allowed to use what's called maklos. These were kind of long sticks that you would use to hang up the Korban Pesach. But in this case, that Yudalid is Shabbos, we're not going to allow maklos. And instead, we're going to have to use what's called, and this is on the top of Kuf Chav Dalet Omen Aleph, Yodo Al Kosef Chavero, V'yad Chavero Al Ksefo. So each person would put his arm on the shoulder of the next person. They'd have a line, and they would hang the Korban Pesach from their arms, Umafshid, and that's how they did the Hafshata to remove the skins. And once again, the question is, these maklos are what's called a klisha malachta leheter. You're only using them for carrying. Why can't you use them on Shabbos? It must be that this is before the heter. This is the original Iser. Now we have two more cases. Glustra. So the Gemara asks, what is glustra? This now we learned in a Mishnah in Kalim. Neger. Sheyesh berosho glustra. So they had a bolt that was used to lock the door. And if there was a ball, a round ball at the end of this neger, then it had other functions. And Rabbi Yeshua Omer, you're not allowed to use and move this glustera, but rather shomta, if let's say you want to take it from one door to another and use it to bolt a different door, then you just have to drop it on the ground, min pesach zeh, from one entranceway, v'tolu b'chaveru, and take it into another entranceway to put it on a different door b'Shabbos. Now, the assumption is that this glustra is a klisha malachta leheter, and yet Rabbi Yeshua requires that you drop it, you don't just carry it. Obviously, this is before the heter of kalim. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Harei hu kechol hakalim, umetaltil b'chotzer. Rabbi Tarfon allows you to move this glustera from one place to another within a chotzer. But everyone seems to agree, both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tarfon, that you're not allowed to move it in a normal way. You're only allowed to move it in a very limited way. And the question is why? Unless we assume that this is before the heter of Tiltul Kalim. And finally, the fourth category of utensil is the medocha, which, if you recall from yesterday, we said that that was a kind of a machine that was used to crush garlic. Ha de amaran, we learned it in the Braisa yesterday, that you're not allowed to be metaltal, you can't move this madocha, even though you want to use it for a tashmishal heter. So once again, we're going to have to say that this fourth category also is before the heter kelim. And now Rabba comes forward to reject Rabbi Elazar and say that all four cases were even after the heter kelim. Amar Rabba Mimai, who tells you that this was before the heter kelim? Dilma liolam emelchai, I can always tell you liacharatars kelim nishnu. This was after they were mater kelim. And now we'll go through all four cases, all four kelim, and we'll explain why it's usher even after the heter of tiltul kelim. Case number one is kanim, which we said had to do with the carrying of the placing of the various lechem in the shulchan for the lechem aponim. Time of my, why do we want to take these loaves of bread in the Beis HaMikdash and make sure that they are placed in the proper place? Mishum iapushe, because if we don't separate one loaf from the other, putting each one on its separate set of kanim, which is kind of like a shelf, then the breads will spoil at a faster pace, because you don't have airspace between the breads. However, we're only going from Friday in the evening until Motzei Shabbos. So it's only a 24 period of time. And Baha'i Purta, in that short period of time, lo mi'apish, the breads will not spoil. And therefore there's no need to take away these kanim on Shabbos, and the tilt of the kanim, therefore, is prohibited on Shabbos. Maklos, and in the case of those staffs that we use to carry the Korban Pesach, efshar ki Rabbi Eliezer. We're not going to allow you to move these maklos, because there's no pressing need to do so. We have the opportunity to do it the way Rabbi Elazar recommended, and one person will stretch out his arm onto the shoulder of the next person. Glustera, in the case of that bolt for the door, Kid Rav Yanai. And Rav Yanai interprets the case of glustera as a chotzer she'eina moreves askinan. If you have a house and there's a common courtyard, and many houses lead into that common courtyard, then you need what's called an Erev Chatzeros, and in this particular case, there was no Erev Chatzeros. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshua is going to say, you're not allowed to take this glustera outside into the Chatzer from your house. So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Tarfin? Rabbi Yeshua Sovra Tocha Pesach Kilifnim Domi. The bolt which locks the door is located in the airspace of the entranceway into the house. And Kilifnim Domi, Rabbi Yeshua defines its status as if it's inside the house. And therefore, Kometaltel, if you want to take this glustera from one door to another, then you're going to have to take it outside your house into a chotzer. And kometaltil mona debatim, he's taking a kli from a house, bechotzer, out into a chotzer. And that's also Rabbi Tarfin Sovar, tocha pesach kila chutz domi, that until you have to actually enter into the house, you're only at the entranceway, the airspace in the doorposts, between the doorposts, that's considered kila chutz. That's already out in the chotzer. And mona de chotzer, bechotzer kometaltele. You have a kli that's in a courtyard, you're allowed to carry it within that courtyard. And finally, the last case is medocha. And we said that a medocha, which is used to crush garlic, is usur, you're not allowed to be metaltele. That's Rav Nechemyahi. Because Rav Nechemyahi is of the opinion that the only tiltil that we're allowing in kelim is what's called litzarech hamiyuchad tashmish hamiyuchad. Every kli was created, manufactured for a certain specific purpose, and you can't use it for any other purpose. That's Rav Nechemya's sheet. And now we're going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Dal and Omid Aleph. Kol hakelim nitolim litzorech v'shalo litzorech. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, ein nitolim elo litzorech. So the Mishnah doesn't specify what exactly constitutes litzorech and what is shalo litzorech. That's going to be a major machlokas here in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks immediately, my litzorech, my shalo litzorech, what is considered litzorech and what shalo litzorech? So first we start with the sheet of Rabba. Omer Rabba litzorech is davar shemalachto leheter litzorech gufo. The shalo litzorech, davar shemalachto leheter litzorech makomo. So Rabbi is going to say that shalol tzorech in our Mishnah is addressing the case of a kli shemalachto leheter, and shalol tzorech means litzorech makomo. So you move the kli in order to vacate the space that it occupies. However, in the case of a davar shemalachto leisu, you have a kli that's designated for a malacha, which is prohibited on Shabbos, then litzorech gufo, you're allowed to move the kli in. That's allowed. And litzorech gufo means you want to use it for another function. Av litzorech makomo, but if you're only removing it because you want to free up the space, that's not mutter in the case of a kli shemalachto le'isur. V'asa Rabbi Nechemya. Now Rabbi Nechemya says, ein nitolim el litzorech. What was he trying to argue? Afilu davar shemalachto leheter is only mutter betiltul litzorech gufo. Litzorech gufo in, you're allowed to move it, but litzorech makomo lo. So that even in a case of a kli shemalachto leheter, according to Rabbi Nechemya, you're only allowed to move it litzorech gufo, but not litzorech makomo. And as we'll soon see, the Gemara is going to point out, how do you clear off your table on Shabbos after you eat your meal, according to Rabbi Nechemya? You're only cleaning it off in order to free up the space that it occupies. And that's litzorech makomo, which is osur, even in a case of silverware, in a case of a kli shemalachto leheter. Now, in the case of a kli shemalachto leisur, Rabbi Nechemya would say that there's no permissibility whatsoever to be metaltel it. Omale Rava disagrees with Rabba, and he says, Litzorech makomo shalol litzorech karisle. You interpret shalol litzorech in our Mishnah referring to makomo. That's impossible. According to Rava, there's no difference between litzorech gufo and litzorech makomo. Both are considered litzorech, whether you need the kli itself or you need the space for the kli. El Amar Rava, but rather we should interpret the Mishnah as follows. Litzorech means davar shemalachto leheter bein litzorech gufo bein litzorech makomo. So you're allowed to move a kli if it's a kli shemalachto leheter, whether it is for its own purpose or to free up the space. Shalo litzorech, however, in the case of a movement of a kli, again we're talking about it over a kli shemalachto leheter, but you're not moving it neither litzorech gufo nor litzorech makomo, and that's called shalo litzorech, that's also mutter, afilu mechamel itself, for the protection of the kli. And Rava adds, what's the deal with the davar shemalachto leisur, the litzorech gufo ulitzorech makomo in? You're allowed to move it both litzorech gufo and litzorech makomo, because Rava says that litzorech includes both makomo and gufo. There's no difference between gufo and makomo, according to Rava. But mechamel itzel, the special heter that we gave to move the kli when it's not really litzorech, you don't have any benefit from it. It's only for the purpose of the kli itself. It might get ruined. So that's not mutter in the case of a kli shemalachto leisur. So that's only mutter in a kli shemalachto leheter, and that's what the Mishnah means by shalo litzorech. The Aser of Nechemya Lememar, Rabbi Nechemiah now argues, and he says, "Afilu dover shemalata leheter, klisha malata leheter, litzarch gufa litzarch makomo in." Again, this is Rava l'shitasa. Rava never differentiates between litzarch gufa litzarch makomo. So, in the case of a klisha malata leheter, you want to clear off your dishes from the table after you finish your meal. That would be mutter, even according to Rabbi Nechemiah. But mechamal itzel lo, the special heter of moving a kli for the protection of the kli, that's limited to a kli shemalata leheter, does not apply to a kli shemalata leisa. And that's the shita of Rabbi Nechemiah, that even a kli shemalata leheter is asur if it's not litzorech, if it's only for the purpose of the kli. Whereas the Tanakama holds that in a dover shemalata leheter, you're allowed not only litzorech, but even shalol litzorech, which means lechama litzel. And a dover shemalata leisur is mutul litzorech, but not michama litzel. Yosef Rav Safra, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chanina, V'yasvi V'kamri. So we have three great Amoraim that are sitting, and they are studying this sugya of Rabba and Rav. And they ask the following question. L'Rabba, Libid Rav Nechemiah, according to Rabba, who concludes that Rav Nechemiah prohibits moving a klisha malachta leheter if it's litzorach makomo, and the whole heter, according to Rav Nechemiah, says Rabba, is tiltil klisha malachta leheter litzorach gufo, is hani karos. We have bowls that are left on the table after we finish that suda. How are we going to clear off the table? That's a case of litzorech makomo. And according to Rabba's understanding of Rav Nechemiah, a kli shemalata leheta litzorech makomo is asur. Amalahu Rav Safra said, midahavi agraf shel re'i. So in just a second, we'll talk about Graf Shel Re'i. Let's just read another few lines of the Gemara. Omalei Abai L'Rabba L'mar, according to you, Alibid Rav Nechemiah, Hani Karos Hechim Etal Talina Lehu, how are we allowed to clear off the table from the bowls and so forth at the end of the meal? Omalei, so Rabba says to answer Abai's question, Rav Safra Chavrin, our colleague, Rav Safra has already, Tirgumah, he's already given an answer, Midi Dehavi Graf Shel Re'i. So what's a graf shel re'i? That's literally, if we translate it, is a receptacle that has excrement in it, and it's absolutely repulsive. So even though, according to the laws of mukta, it would be also a tiltil, but we're going to allow you to move it in order that you don't have to suffer the rest of Shabbos by sitting in your house close to this graf shel re'i. And the Gemara is now extending Graf Shel Re'i to anything that makes it uncomfortable for you. So when you're sitting around a table and the dishes are dirty dishes, you've already finished your meal, then you're uncomfortable, and that's repulsive, and therefore you're allowed to move it. It's a special heter that sort of goes beyond the laws, the normal laws of muktzah. Eisve Abai L'Rava. Now, Abai now raises a question from a brice against Rava, Midocha, again getting back to this large utensil that's used to crush garlic. That's called the Klishim Lachtali Isur. And the brice says, in Yesh Bashum, if there's still garlic inside, it's holding on to the garlic, is Mitaltan Osa, then you're allowed to move it because of the garlic. But in Lav, if there's no garlic, you've already cleaned out all the garlic, it's Ein Mitaltan Osa, you're not allowed to move it. Now, that seems to be an absolute statement, unqualified, according to you, Rava, that a klisha malachta leisa is mutter, litzorach gufo, and litzorach makomo, then why does the Braisa say in an absolute way that you're not allowed to be metaltal it? So, at least according to Rava, we could interpret that the reason why the Braisa indicates that it's aser if there's no garlic in the maducha. And the reason for that is because it's litzorech makomo. So you could say that it's also litzorech makomo, but according to Rava, it's mutter both litzorech makomo and litzorech gufo. So why does the Brice indicate that it's Asur? And Rava answers, Hachamai Askinon. This is going to be a refrain. Every time they ask a kasha on Rava, he's always going to give the same answer. Hachamai Askinon mechamol itzel. The heter of moving a kli just for the protection of the kli was limited to a davishim lachto le heter. But here in the case of Medocha, we're talking about a kli shim lachto le isur, and there's no permissibility to move it for the sake of saving the kli if it's outside in the sun and it's going to get ruined. And that's the reason why this brisa tells you that in the absence of shum, you're not allowed to move this Medocha, meaning you're not allowed to take it in from the sun into the house. Esve, another kasha that Abai is going to ask to Rava, and this is from the case that we discussed yesterday, a brisa that quotes a machlokas beisil beitshame bet yontiv, and we're talking about a kli called an eli, and we said that an eli was some sort of a flat, round wooden kli, and they used to use it to bang the kernels of wheat in order to grind the wheat down. So it's a kli shemalachta le'isur. And both Beisil Beit Shammai agree, v'shavin, she'im kitev olav basar, if you've already cut up your meat, so you have all your needs for yontif taken care of, also l'taltala, you're not allowed to use this eli and move it from place to place in order to prepare your meat, because you've already prepared your meat. And we see clearly that a kli shem lachta l'isur is also l'taltalo, and there's no distinction here made as far as l'tzorch makomo, and according to you, Rava, you should be allowed to move this eli l'tzorch makomo. Like, again, l'tzorch gufo, you don't need to move it because you've already cut up your meat. But at least as far as makomo is concerned, you know, you need to clear away the space. It's Hachanami, again, the same answer, Michamal Itzel. When the Brice indicates that you're not allowed to move this Eli, it's referring to a movement of the Kli for the sake of the Kli, to protect it from the sun. And that's prohibited in a Kli Shem Lachtalis. Now the Gemara asks another Kash. V'hadisnan, we have a mission in Beitza, Ein Somchen Es HaKedera, Bibakas, V'chein Bideles. So we have to know a little bit about Yontif. And a bakas is a slice of wood, right? So you cut down the tree and then you with an axe, you make it into small slices. And that's used for fuel. And on Yontif, you're allowed to feed your fire, L'tzorech Ochel Nefesh. And therefore, bakas on Yontif should not be mukta. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says that if you want to use this bakas, this log of wood, lismoch es hakedera, like let's say, for example, they used to hang up their pots on an open fire, and they had piece of wood that would hold up the pot over the fire, and let's say it was tipping in one direction or another, wasn't balanced properly, so now you want to put this log that was designated for firewood, but you want to change its purpose and use it to hold up your kedera. Or, for example, let's say you have a door, and the door is a little bit loose, so you want to put that piece of wood to keep the door from falling off. All this is us on Yontif. So the Gemara asks the following question, Vabakas, what's the status of a log of wood on Yontif, to be Yontif, Dovashim Lachta Leheteru. This is a case where you're allowed to use it as fuel. It's Yontif. And yet, it's awesome. Alma, we see from this that Dovashim Lachta Leheteru, Beilun Tzor Kufa, Beilun Tzor Mekom Asa. This is against our Mishnah. Whether you interpret our Mishnah like Rabbah or like Rav, it makes no difference. Because even Rabbah is going to agree that in Eklishim Lachta Leheteru, the Mishnah says explicitly that you're allowed to move it bein litzorech bein shelo litzorech, which means whether it's litzorech gufo, litzorech makomo, according to Rabbah. How could it be that this Mishnah in Masechta Beitza, referring to a bakas on Yontif, which is a kli shem lachta l'heter, says it's also betiltul? So the Gemara answers, Hosomai Taima, the reason why the Mishnah prohibits moving this Bekas is because Kevin de Beshavis, Dover Shematol Isahu, is Gzera Yontif Otu Shabbos. And the Gemara establishes that according to the Mishnah in Beitzo with regard to Bekas, we equate Yontif with Shabbos. And that which would be Muktzah on Shabbos now becomes Muktzah on Yontif. Now again, we're not afraid that on Shabbos he would take a log and feed his fire. I mean, that's clearly, everyone would avoid such a thing. But what would be if he wanted to use this bakas for some other purpose, like to hold up his kedera or his door? So on Shabbos that would be usur because the log has the status of muktzah. And therefore, on Yontif, in order to equate Yontif with Shabbos, because if we allow you on Yontif, you might come to permit yourself on Shabbos, we're going to therefore establish that if you're using the Bekas for lighting your fuel, that's fine. On Yontif, that's okay. But now you want to use it for another purpose. Well, what would have been on Shabbos if you had a Bekas and you wanted to use it for a Malachta Leheta, for some sort of heter to hold up your door, etc., that would be awesome. So the Gemara asks, V'chitema Shabbos Gufa Tishtere. Wait a second. Even if you tell me that a Bekas, a log of wood on Shabbos, is a Malachta Le'iser because it's designated as firewood, which we can't use on Shabbos, we should still be allowed to use it to hold up the pot or the door. So let's take Rabba. Rabba allows you, in a case of a Dovish Malachta Le'iser, to use it L'tzorech Gufo. Here he's using it L'tzorech Gufo. He needs it as a stopper for his door or to hold up his kedera. So my answer is, Hani mili hecha de'ika toras klialov, al hecha de'leka toras klialov lo. Now this Rabosai, again, you know, it sometimes pains me when I see a Gemara that has to be studied in great depth, because this is so fundamental and we don't have time to do justice to it, but that's the nature of Daf Yomi. But the Gemara is making a fundamental distinction between two types of Isurei Tiltul that apply on Shabbos. One is called Muktzah, and the other is called Tiltul Kalim. With regard to Tiltul Kalim, that's a much later Isur, that's not Muktzah. And there we have all sorts of heterim, like Litzor Gufo, Litzor Makoma. So if this log of wood would only be a Kli Shemalachta L'Isur, then you would be allowed to use it to hold up your door. That would be L'tzorech Gufo. But the problem is that this log does not have a Shem Keli on it. And if it doesn't have a Shem Keli, it's called Eitzim Vavonim. And if it's Eitzim Vavonim, that's called Muktzah, otherwise known as Muktzah Machmas Gufo. It has no Shem Kli. Anything that has no Shem Kli is Muktzah. By the way, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about muktzah, but even Rabbi Shimon agrees that if there's no shame kli, then it's muktzah. That's the muktzah machmas gufo that everybody accepts, and that's a very severe isur. And here, in this case of a bakas, on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to use this log to hold up your kedera because it's muktzah machmas gufo. And that muktzah is not mutl, it's our gufo, it's our makoma. So let's say you're at a stone, and you wanted to use the stone to stop your door on Shabbos. So unless you had prepared it before Shabbos as a door stopper, it would be awesome. It's Litzor Gufo. The answer is, we're not talking about a Klishim Lachta Le'iser. We're talking about Muktzah. And that distinction is very fundamental. Now the Gemara wants to know, do we really accept that what's also on Shabbos has to be also on Yontif? Umigas Rinon. Do we have this principle that we extend all the Xeros and the Isurei Derabbanan that apply in Shabbos to Yontif as well? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah in Beitzah that differentiates clearly between Shabbos and Yontif. And that's in the context of Tircha, What do I mean by tircha? You're not allowed to exert yourself on Shabbos and Yontif. But on Yontif, they were much more lenient. And therefore, mashilin peros derech aruba b'yontif. If you have fruits that are laid out on the roof, and that's what they used to do, they used to dry their fruits on the roof. Now, if it's going to rain, these fruits will get ruined, and you'll suffer a serious financial loss. So on Yontif, they allowed you to open up your skylight, and you can send down all these peros through the skylight into your house to protect them from the rains. Avaloba Shabbos. But on Shabbos, we were more machmir, and this is too much of an exertion. It's a tircha shalol tzarich Shabbos. It's just for the purpose of preventing financial loss. So in Yontif, we're going to allow you to do something which would be also on Shabbos, namely a maisa tircha that's being done on Yontif and permitted because it prevents financial loss. We see clearly that there's no equation between Shabbos and Yontif, and there are things that pu'ulot that could be mutter on Yontif, even though the same pu'ula on Shabbos would be also called mashilit. So the Gemara says, what are you telling me? That you have a mission in Beitzah of Mashilin that establishes a principle that we can differentiate between Shabbos and Yontif. Umilo Gazrinon, what about another Mishnah, also in Masechta Beitzah, Disnan Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos Ela Ochol Nefesh Bilvat. There's an absolute equation between all that's prohibited on Yontif, all that's prohibited on Shabbos, and the ipso facto is going to be prohibited on Yontif. The only exception is preparing food. So at this point, we really have a contradiction. Because on the one hand, we said that in the case of a bakas, which is a log of wood, we're going to prohibit it on Yontif because it's prohibited on Shabbos. And we have this Mishnah that says there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif, which means that all the surim, all the gzeris that the Rabbanan instituted on Shabbos will apply to Yontif. And yet, we're stuck with the Mishnah of Mashilin, which differentiates between Shabbos and Yontif. Om Rav Yosef lo kasha, ha Rav Eliezer ve ha Rav Yeshua. The issue of allowing something on Yontif, which would normally be also on Shabbos, for the sake of preventing financial loss, is actually the subject of a controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're not going to allow you on Yontif for the sake of preventing financial loss to do something that would be also, that normally would be also. So that if we allow Mashilin Peros on Yontif, we're going to have to assume that that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is much more lenient with regard to Yontif to prevent financial loss. And if we have a Mishnah that says Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos, that we equate Shabbos and Yontif, that Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer. Now where do we see that Rabbi Eliezer is more machmir with regard to Yontif than Rabbi Yeshua? The Sanya we learned in a Braisa. Oso vs Bino. Now, if an animal and its child have to be shechted, you cannot shecht them on the same day. That's an Isa Lav Doraisa in Vayikra Perikov Beis. And now, Oso vs Bino, the animal and its child and its offspring, Naflu Labar, they fell into a deep pit on Yontif and were afraid that they'll die for the lack of oxygen and the lack of food. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, if it's Yontif, then Malas HaRishon, you're allowed to haul up from the bottom of the bar one of the two animals, Almanas L'Shokto, and you can shecht it on Yontif. Koshchit on Yontif is Mut, Vasheni. Now all you need is one animal to shecht on Yontif, you don't have that many guests. And the second one, you have to leave in the bar. And Osa Lo Parnasa, you should try the best you can to feed it in the bar, to hopefully it'll survive until after Yontif, when you're allowed to haul it up from the bar. But it's all Bimakomo. You have to leave it in its place, down in the bar, the second animal. Bishvil Shalo Yomis, you're going to feed it so that it doesn't die, but it may very well die. And Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, is not so impressed with the financial loss that you might suffer if the animal dies. and therefore he's not going to allow you to do this tircha, this excessive work of hauling it up from the bottom of the bar in order to spare your financial loss. Just try to do the best you can and feed the animal. Hopefully it'll survive until after Yontif. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, however, Ma'aleh Harishon al Menas L'Shochto, let's haul up the first animal for Shechita purpose, but V'eino Shochto. And then you decide that you're not going to slaughter it. Now, who are you fooling? So that's called Harama, Umarim. In English they call it subterfuge. And Malas Hasheni, and then he brings up the second one, as if he's going to shech the second one. And that's called Litzarch Yad. Ratzah Zeshok. At the end of the day, he'll decide which one he wants to shech. This was all just a ploy to allow him to pull up both animals. And the reason why Rabbi Yeshua would allow the tircha, the extra exertion of carrying two animals up, is in order to avoid financial loss. Therefore, in the Mishnah in Mashilin, which allows this tircha of taking the fruits from the roof and pushing them down the skylight, that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yeshua. For the sake of financial loss, on Yontif we're going to be lenient. That's Rabbi Yeshua. We saw it because he allows you to haul up two animals from the bottom of the bar. However, those Mishnayos that indicate that anything that's also on Shabbos is ipso facto also on Yontif, for example, Bekas, or the Mishnah that says Ein Bein Shabbos Yontif Elochel Nefesh Bilvad, that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. That's the answer of Rabbi Yosef reconciles. So the Gemara asked me, "My Rabbi Yosef, you have no right to equate this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about hauling up the two animals to the issue of whether we equate Shabbos and Yontif." Because Dilma Adkan Lokom Rabbi Eliezer Hosom, why did Rabbi Eliezer say that you have to leave the second animal down in the bar? Eladief Shiv Lefarnasa. Because Rabbi Eliezer actually believed optimistically that the animal would survive by feeding it down in the bar. Aval Hech Dilof Shiv Lefarnasa, if you have no other way of saving your financial loss, then even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that on Yontif we could be Makil, and hence Mashilin as Aperes Derech Aruba would reflect even the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Inami, and I can flip it around the other way. Ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yeshua Hosam. The reason why Rabbi Yeshua allows you to haul up the two animals from the bottom of the bar, that's only the Efshar Harama, because Rabbi Yeshua recognizes and validates Harama, that you can say, you know, I'm only pulling up the first one because I want to shecht it. And then you can say, well, I decide I'm not shechting it and I'm pulling up the second animal because I'm going to shecht the second animal. Like in the case of Mashilin, where there's no possibility of Harama, everybody understands that if you send these fruits down through the skylight, you're doing so in order to save yourself a financial loss and spare the perils from getting ruined by the rain. Could be that in that case, Rabbi Yeshua would say it's awesome, because you have no opportunity to say Harama. Harama at least is something that, you know, you could somewhat believe in, you know, and you could at least make a hecker that we really are doing this for the sake of Shechita, Ki'ilu. Elomar of Papa, now Rav Papa has to come up with an alternative solution to the problem, because we rejected Rabbi Yosef. Lo kasha, ha beit shamai, ha beit hillel. That Mishnah that says that we make a difference between Yontif and Shabbos and we're going to allow Mashilin to send the fruits through the skylight, that reflects the Shita Beis Hillel, who are more Makel and Yontif. And the Mishnah that says that everything that applies to Shabbos ipso facto applies to Yontif, that Chumrah reflects the Shita of Beit Shammai. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of Beitzah. Beit Shammai Omrim, and here we're going to turn to Kuf Chav Dalet. Ein motzien es hakotim es haluv es hasefer toshus harabim. Beit Shammai say the only malacha you're allowed to do on Yontif is litzarech ochel nefesh, but carrying something other than food is prohibited. Ubeisol matirin. Beisol says that once the Torah was matir, it allowed ochel nefesh on Yontif, so you're allowed to do those same malachas for other purposes, as long as it has some purpose on Yontif. So we see clearly that Beit Shammai is very machmir, and the only allowance that they have on Yontif is Ochel Nefesh Mamish, that's it, nothing else. They therefore will be more machmir in the case of mashilin. That's a torech. And these are fruits that he's not going to be able to eat on Yontif, the masses amounts of fruits. And therefore he's going to be machmir. And if you ask me, well, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? The answer is, according to Beit Shammai, that's only Ochel Nefesh Mamish. Whereas, according to Beis Hillel, they have a more lenient approach to Yontif, and therefore they are going to be very, lenient on Yontif, allowing Mashilin and Saperos to protect yourself from a financial loss on Yontif. And the Mishnah that says that Ein Bein Shabbos LiYontif, that there's an absolute equation between Shabbos and Yontif, that reflects the Shita Beit Shammai. The Gemara is not so happy with Rav Papa's answer. Emer the Shamat LeBeit Shammai Hotza. Beit Shammai were machmir in the case of Hotza. But Tiltul Mishamat Le, in the case of Lahashlich Peros Derech Haruba, I mean, that's only Tiltul, and it could be Beit Shammai would allow that. And the Gemara answers no. To defend Rav Papa and his underlying logic, the Gemara says, Tiltul guf olav mishum hotzahui. Any kind of tiltul is only osur as a gzeirah d'rabbanan because he might come to hotzah. And therefore, since according to Beit Shammai, we have a chumra in hotzah, we're not going to allow hotzahs lulav and sefer Torah and tinok. It's therefore we're going to be machmir on tiltul as well. Now the Gemara goes back to the machlokas Rabba and Rava with regard to tiltul kli shemalachta le'isa le'tzorech makoma. And the Gemara says, v'yaf Rav sovrlo l'ha de Rav. Rav agrees to Rava that you're allowed to move a kli shemalachta le'isa le'tzorech makoma. The Omer Rav said, Mar is a shovel. In Hebrew, it's called a me'ader, and it's clearly a kli shemalachta le'isur. Shelo yiganev. Rav says that if you want to protect the kli itself, and it's a kli shemalachta le'isur, so you're afraid it'll get stolen. Zeu tiltul shelo letzok v'asur. And the only reason Rav says it's asur is because it's mechamel etzel. It's for the protection of the kli. But shelo, apparently Rav would have allowed the movement of this kli shemalach talisa, this mar, if it would have been either l'tzorch guf l'tzorch makoma, reflecting the shita of Rav. Any, the Gemara says, can you reconcile that with another statement of Rav? V'ha Rav Kahane ikla l'be Rav, when Rav Kahane visited Rav, Omar, Rav said, Aisu le shusa le kahane le sivale. There was a kind of a trap that was used for Meleches Tzedah, so it's a kli shemalachta le'isur. But you could turn it upside down and use it as a chair to sit on. Bring over that trap and we'll use it to sit on it. Now it seems that Rav went out of his way to point out that I'm going to allow Rav Kahana, for the sake of Rav Kahana, to move this kli shemalachta le'isur, this Meleches Tzedah kli, only because of Gufo, because he's going to sit on it. Lav lemeimer, doesn't that imply that Dovah Shemalach Talisa L'tzor Gufo in L'tzor Mekomo lo? But if he wanted to move this kli simply to evacuate the spot, the space that it occupied, that would be awesome. Rav went out of his way to point out that I'm only allowing this because he's going to sit on the kli, and this is against Rava, because Rava allows moving a kli shemalachta le'isa even litzarch makomo. So Gemara answers, Hachi Omer Lehu Rav. This is what Rav said. Shkolu shusa mikavi kahana. Because of Rav Kahana, you're allowed to move this mitzuda, this trap, in order to free up the spot which was occupied by the mitzuda so that Rav Kahana could sit there in that spot. And that means that litzorch makomo, you're allowed to move a kli shemalachta le'isa. Hence, Rav agrees with Rav. Iboy seima. Another answer I could give you: hasam michamel etzel hava. There, the tiltul of this mitzuda, it was left out in the sun. It might get ruined by the sun, and that's considered michamel etzel. And michamel etzel, even according to Rava, is asur. There's an isur tiltul in the case of a kli shemalachta le'isa. So therefore, Rav wanted to make sure that people would understand that there's an Issa Tiltal involved here, and therefore he pointed out that we're only allowed to move it Litzorech Gufo, but not Michama Litzer. Rav Mori Bar Rochel Havili Hahi Bei Siudasa B'Shimsha. Right, he had certain kinds of felt pillows that were left in the sun. This is a klishim lachtel heter, also lekami the rova, and Amalei. So Rav Mori asks Rav Maula Taltule, can I take it in from the sun so that it shouldn't get ruined in the sun? Amalei Rava says, Shari, you're allowed to do so. This is Rava l'shita. So the klishim lachtel yisur is mutal tzora afilu michama l'tzel. So now Rav Mori turns to Rava, but isli achrine, I have other pillows, which means that even if these pillows get ruined, I still have other pillows, so it's not really such a great tzorech. And Rav answers him, chazu le orchim, maybe you'll have guests and you'll need extra pillows, you're allowed to take in the pillows that they shouldn't get ruined. He says, isli nami le orchim. So Rav Mori asks him, wait a minute, I have enough pillows in my storehouse for the Orchim. I don't need these pillows that are out in the sun. Omole, galis adaito de ki rabba svirle. You have revealed yourself that you hold like rabba, that you're not allowed to be metaltel a klish malato leheter michamal itzel. Lekulia meshari lididach asir. But I paskin that it's mutter, and if everyone could follow my psak, you have to follow the psak of rabba because you accepted that psak, and therefore for you it's asir. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav Mechabedos Shel Melasa Mutal Taltalon B'Shabbos. Okay, just give me a split second here, sorry. Brooms that are made of bgadim, of cloth, may be moved on Shabbos. Aval shel tmara, they made brooms out of palm leaves, lo, they're not allowed to be moved. And the question is, what's the difference between, thank you, these two brooms? So brooms are of cloth are brushes with cloth bristles, and they're used to clear off crumbs from the table. That's called a kli shemalakto leheter. But brooms of palm leaves are used to sweep floors. Now, back in the Gemara's time, the floors were made of dirt, and if you sweep the floor, you might be mashva gumos, you might flatten out the ground, which is a melacha of meleches bone. And therefore, Rabbi Abba says that machbedo shel tmara lo, you're not allowed to remove them, you're not allowed to move them. Rabbi Elezer omer af shel tmara, even the brooms that are made of palm leaves can be moved on Shabbos. Mayaskina, what's the case? What is he doing with these brooms? Either he needs the space or he needs the broom to be used in some function. Is Bahal Lema Rav Shel Tomorrow Lo? Would Rav say in this case that you're not allowed to move palm leaves? For Rav Kiravasvile, we've already established that Rav has accepted the Shita of Rava, and therefore Klisha Malachto Isur is Mutal Taltalo, Bein Litzor Kufo, Bein Litzor Makoma. Ela Michama Litzel. So we're going to have to, by process of elimination, assume that he's only moving the brooms to save them from getting destroyed. So the Gemara says, Behal Lema Rabbi Lozar Af Shel Tmara. If that be the case, how could Rabbi Elazar allow you to move this broom that's made of palm leaves to take it out of the sun? Nobody allows you to move Mechama Litzel in the case of a Klisha Malach Talisa and a broom that's used to sweep the floor is a Klisha Malach Talisa. The Gemara answers, Li Olo Mechama Litzel, Eim of a Chain Om Rabbi Elazar. That Rabbi Elazar agrees that in the case of a broom that's made of palm trees, then you're not allowed to move it from Chamal Itzel. Only a broom of cloth can be moved to save the broom from the heat sun, because that's a kli shemalachto leheter. The Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Hani Tolim B'Shabbos. All Kelim that you're allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos, as we learned in the previous Mishnayos, is shivreim nitolim imohen. If they break, we'll see, did they break on Erev Shabbos or Shabbos, then you're allowed to move even the broken pieces. Ubilvad, but only the following condition. Sheyu osim ke'en molocha. That some molocha, whatever the molocha is, a whole different function, you could possibly use these molochas. You could use these shvarim. For example, shivrei areva, so you have a bowl that broke, and normally you'd use this large bowl to mix dough. And now, lechasus ben sp hachavis, you can somehow take the broken shards of this mixing bowl and use it to cover up a barrel, because the food is exposed to the air, so you have to cover it. Or shivrei zchuchis, you have a glass jar that was used for oil, let's say, and now it broke. Is a chasus ben is pia pach. You're allowed to use those broken pieces of, you could use those broken pieces of glass in order to cover some sort of a flask. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you're only allowed to move shivrei kelim bilvad sheyu osin me'ein malachto Harishona, only if the broken pieces can be used in a very similar capacity to the original kli before it broke. For example, shivrei areva, you have broken pieces of a mixing bowl. Lotzuk besochan mikva, it still is curved enough and it has enough of a receptacle that I can pour something very thick in it, like a very thick soup. So it's still being used like a dough. The soup is like a dough, and the shivrei kelim are a receptacle. That's called me'ein malachta rishona. Or, for example, shivrei zchuchis, shel zchuchis, kelim of zchuchis, lotzuk l'sochan shemen, that there's enough left. Let's say you broke off the top part of this glass flask, you have the bottom part, and you can still put some oil into the broken flask. So it's me'ein malachto harishona. You can still use it in the same capacity that you originally used it. Otherwise, just to use it to cover over something, that's also according to Rabbi Yehuda. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmur Machlokes. The debate in that mission between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is Kishenishbu me'erev Shabbos. The breakage took place on Friday. Demarsov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, me'ein malachtan in. Me'ein malacha cheres lo. That only if it's fit for the original malacha, then it's still prepared when going into Shabbos. Marsov, but Tanakhama holds afilu me'ein malacha cheres. Since you could use it in another capacity, going into Shabbos, you knew that you could use it in another capacity, and therefore it's muchan, it has hachana. Avol nishbu b'Shabbos, but if the keli broke on Shabbos, diriyah kol mutarim. Everybody agrees. Hol muchadim al gavi aviyim. Therefore, it's mutar. If the kli was whole going into Shabbos, it had achana. That achana is relevant to the entire kli and all its pieces. Even if it falls apart, every single particle of that kli is muchan, and that's called muchad al gavi aviyim. Everybody would agree in that case that it's mutter, and you don't need what's called me'ein malachta or rishon. Mosiv Rav Zutroy asks a kasha from a b'raisa. The b'raisa says, masikin bekelim v'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. You have a wooden utensil, and now you want to decide, instead of using it as a receptacle, and it's yontif, you see that you're lacking in logs of wood for your fireplace, so you're allowed to throw this keli into the fire and use it as fuel. However, if the kli broke and all you have is pieces, then you're not allowed to use them as fuel in your fire. So Gemara asks, what's the case? The nishbru emas. When did this wooden kli break? Elema the nishbru me erev yontif. If it broke on erev yontif, then who cares if it's shivrei kelim? Is eitzim bi'almaninu? It doesn't. It's not a kli. It's not designated for any function. It's not a receptacle. You're going to use it as fuel. So why is it muksa? Ela lav b'yontif. By passive elimination, it must be that it broke on yontif itself. Uktani, and yet it says, masikim bekelim. V'ein masikim b'shivrei kelim. So what happened to your svara called muchanim al gabi avihem? If it broke on yontif, then it shouldn't be muktzah. Now we have to rewrite the text of Shmuel. And here's what Shmuel was saying, machlokes b'shenishmu b'shabbos. The machlokes revolves on a case where it broke on Shabbos. The Marisov, according to the Tanakama, muchan hu. And why is it muchan? Because when we went into Shabbos, there was hachana, and that hachana incorporates all the pieces of the Kliya Marisov, nolad hu. Rav Yehuda holds that you have now a new entity. The old entity that had hachana when you went into Shabbos no longer exists. Yiskadol v'yiskadosh. What you have now is nolad. Nolad means something that wasn't there on Erev Shabbos. It came into being on Shabbos. And it's Asur B'Toras Muktzah. And one of the things that we have to understand here is that according to the Tanakhama in this presentation, it's not considered Nolad because even the Shivrei Kelim have some sort of a function. So it's not a brand new Zach. Avol Me'Erev Shabbos Divrei Hakol Mutarim. Everybody would agree that if it was broken on Erev Shabbos, it's mutahol v'huchnu l'malachim v'bojom, because now that it broke, you can use it as fuel, and it's muchan. So the Gemara says, we have three different shitos. Tani chada, according to one b'raisa, masikim v'kelim, you're allowed to take a full, complete kli, and throw it into the fire on yont. V'yei masikim v'shivei kelim, but if it's broken, then you're not allowed to use it as fuel on yontif. Tanya Yidduch, a second brisa says, "Kshem shemasikim v'kelim, kach masikim v'shivrei kelim." You're allowed to use broken kelim as fuel for your fire. But Tanya Yidduch, we have a third sheet that says, "Ein masikim lo b'kelim v'lo b'shivrei kelim." Even in the case of a kli, a full kli, you're not allowed to use it as fuel. So the Gemara explains now this three-way machlokes. Ha, the first brisa that says that you're allowed to use full kelim, but not shivrei kelim. That's Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a heter of tiltul kelim l'chol tzorech, but he's going to say that it's nolad if it broke on yontif, and therefore it's osur. Ha, the second brisa that says that you're allowed to be metaltel even shivrei kelim and use them as fuel, that reflects the shita of Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon himself holds that there's a heter to be metaltel kelim l'chol tzorech, and even nolad is mutter. And this is a sugyan beitza, according to one man diomer, mandi shari muktza shari nami nolad. So Rav Shimon is one of his matir muktza, and therefore he's matir nolad. V'ha, and the third brisa that says even full-fledged kelim cannot be used as fuel, that's Rabbi Nechemiah, who says that you need tashmisho ha-miyuchad lo. And this Tashmish Miyuchalo was to be used as a kli and not to be used as fuel. Omer Rav Nachman, Hani Livne Dishtayr Mibinyono. There were bricks that were left after the construction, leftover bricks. Sharli Taltalinu, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Why? The Chazul Mizgalei, because you could use them as seats. But Shaginu, if he organized before Shabbos all these extra bricks, one on top of the other, he made a long, tall pillar out of it, is Vadeaksinu. In such a case, it means that he wants to use it for another binyan. He's a big kablan, and he'll need it for another binyan, and therefore it's still considered also its mukta. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Cheres, Kitano. If you have a small piece of earthenware, a shard that broke off a kli, mutal etaltel bechatzer, you're allowed to move it around in a chatzer, because there are a lot of kelim in the chatzer, and some of them might, or one of them might need a covering, so you'll use this shard as a covering, and therefore it still has a Torah's kli, it's not mukta. Avol b'karmelis lo, out in the karmelis, which is a public area, you don't have any kelim over there, so what are you going to use the shard for? You can't use it to cover a kli, there are no kelim there. And that's Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. But Rav Nachman, the Deomer, Rav Nachman himself holds, Shafilu b'karmelis, even in the case of a karmelis, you're allowed to be metaltel a chatichas cheres. Why? Because theoretically, had that chatichas cheres, you know, been functional, let's say, for example, in a public area, you might use it to cover up spittle, so it's still roy, it still has a shem kliyav, b'shus harabim lo, you know, nobody sits down in a b'shus harabim and starts spitting on the ground, so the chatichas cheres has no function. And now we have a third opinion, Rav Omar, afilu b'shus harabim. Rava goes even further. He says, even Rosh Hashanah, it's considered a kli. Why? Because since elsewhere it could be a kli, had it been in a chatzer or in a carmelis, it would still be a kli, then it's considered a kli, this shard of earthenware, even in a Rosh Hashanah. The Azda Rava L'tameh, and we're going to tell a story now about Rav, and you'll see that Rav is very consistent. The Rav Avikasel, the Riska de Mechoza, Rav was going in a public area which is called Riska, in a city called Mechoza, and Isvasai Misane Tina, his sandal got full of concrete, of mud. Asa Shamai, Shamai means his Hoizbacha, his Shabbish, and Shkal Chaspa Vekama Chaperle. He took a small shard, a broken piece of earth, and when he starts clearing off the dirt, the filth from Rava's sandal, Ramabe Rabbanan Kola, and the Chachamim started yelling and screaming. How is he allowed to move a Shever Keres? It's in a Rosh Hashanah. We're in a public area. Amar Rava says lo mis tiyaye de lo gemiri. Not only is it that you Chachamim who are yelling at him, you don't know what's mutter, what's asur. You're full of ignorance, but you made a big mistake. Why? Because Migmar Nami Megamre, which means Malamdim Hemes Atol Shabyam Lacherim. Not only do they make a mistake, but they even transfer and transmit their mistakes to others. And Rava says, Ilu Bechotzer Havi, if the Klicheres, this broken shard of earthenware, was in a Chotzer, Milo Havi Chazi Lechsuya Beimona, wouldn't it be designated to cover over a Kli? They had a lot of Kli Kalim in the Chotzer. It's Hochanami here too in Rishus Aravim. Chazil didi, right? It's roy. It's fitting for me. I need it in order to clean off my shoe from the tit that fell, that got smudged on the tit. So since in another place it would be roy for everybody because it's a chutzah, you can cover it over and clean. Therefore, for me, it's roy and it's not muktzah. And we'll just add one more piece here, very quickly. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel Megufas Chavish Shenichteta. They used to take a cover lid and they used to attach it over to the barrel. And now the barrel broke. And Mutal Taltel, the lid itself is Mutal Taltel B'Shabbos, because even though it's not functioning as a cover lid for this particular Chavish that broke, but it can be used for other. For the Kehil Tani Ami Hochi, and we learned this way in a Braisa, Megufa Shenichtuta, if you have a Chavetz that broke and it was covered by a lid, that's called a Megufa, Ushvarea, and even the broken pieces of the barrel are Mutal Taltal B'Shabbos. But nevertheless, Yol Yispos Mimenes Shever, he shouldn't be Mesakein anything, you know, he shouldn't take the broken pieces and start being metaking them, you know, remove some of the sharp pieces. Kedei lechasas bo sakli lismach sakaria mita, because that would be makab patish. Okay, I see that we ran out of time, and we're going to stop here, so that Emirtz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll start again with Tanya Nami Hachi here on the bottom of Kuf Chav Dalid Amid Beis, and I want to thank you for joining me today and wish you all a great day.